Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is the final word daily for Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. It's preview day at Radscot at what's about to be renamed the Narendran Shah Stadium. I'm Adam Collins. I've got Cam Ponsonby with me. He is on the ground at Radscot. It's 1-1 going into the third test match between India and England. Cam, first and foremost, how are you finding it? Radscot, new city for you.
Yeah, made my debut. It's been an exciting 2 days in the Hotel Nova Bling. I had to move my first night because I didn't have a shower. But who needs a shower? I don't need a shower. But I needed it enough to want to move anyway, just in case I fancied one over the course of the week. I got introduced to my new room and had a spectacular, very romantic happy birthday in massive balloons all over my bed, which is only 6.5 months early for me. So I really appreciated that thought from the lads that are working there. And no, it's been great. The food I've just had in the press box has been wonderful. I hate to say anything bad against Hyderabad or Vizag, but in my Indian food power rankings, Rajkot and Gujarat has gone right up to the top. Goa, you're down the bottom. You fuck with me, I fuck with you. I'm not happy with it. I had my debut bit of food poisoning, but it's fine. That's part and parcel of being a Goa in India. What can you do?
We might come back to your travel diary towards the end of the show. So, yes, Valentine's Day today. That might have been the background to all the roses on your bed.
Yeah.
It's my daughter's fourth birthday as well. Winnie, as long-term listeners would know. I mentioned this, the renaming of the ground. Let's just deal with that first, shall we? So there's a big presentation happening later today. So Narendran Shah has been the Honorary Secretary of the Srashtra Cricket Association since 1972 after a brief first-class career, former long-term secretary of the BCCI, had an administrative role with the IPL as well. So what was the SCA ground is now being given a formal name title.
Yeah, and it feels a couple of years too late, doesn't it? If it was 1972, 2022 was the perfect time, the 50th anniversary. But I guess this is the closest test match we've had to that point. It's taken everyone by surprise. Will McPherson, who is probably the most well-informed cricket journalist in the whole of the UK. I mentioned that to him about 2 hours ago, and I don't think it quite twigged with him. We've all been invited. I think every single journalist on the ground has been invited to that ceremony over there, which you can't see, but I promise you it's there. I may or may not make it later. I'm a busy boy. But I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know who Narendran Shah was until about 7 hours ago, and now I love him to bits. He's my favourite character in the whole of Srashtra.
We got quite a lot of news coming out from the ground today on the selection front. So just to run through, let's do India to start. So KL Rahul is not going to be up for the game. He's still out with that thigh injury, isn't it, with KL Rahul. He's picked in the squad, but they said he'd be subject to a fitness test. Ravindra Jadeja on his home ground will be playing, which prompts a selection stoush, you would imagine, between Kuldeep and Akshar for that second spinner spot to bowl in tandem with the great Ravichandran Ashwin. We've got Siraj back after he was rested in the previous test, so poor old Mukesh Kumar gets left out. They did bring Akash Deep in as a depth seamer, but there's no reason why Siraj wouldn't play. And perhaps the biggest news, Cam, is that India are changing their wicketkeeper.
Yes, they are. Dhruv Jurel, I'm really sorry for that pronunciation, is coming in. KS Bharat, I loved him and really wanted him to do well, in the same reason you did. He was quite an old-fashioned cricketer. But as Sahil said on the show yesterday, when the wickets aren't as kind of spin heavy as they have been in previous years, the need for a specialist wicketkeeper isn't quite there as much. And so the emphasis becomes more on the batting. Jurel has had a really exciting kind of start to his career. He's very young, only just turned 23, has had success in the IPL, and they've turned to him. Whether that's been confirmed, well, more to the point, that hasn't been confirmed. But when India have been running their slip catching drills, it's been Jurel with the gloves. just a little kind of side note to all these things, to this. I saw Jarrell and Joe Root have a massive hug on the boundaries edge after the test match at Vizag, and it really confused me. And I was kind of like, how do these people know each other? Then, of course, they were teammates at Rajasthan Royals, and I quite enjoyed it as a snapshot of the modern game in terms of how players from all over the world, from one of England's best, greatest test batters of all time, is giving a big hug to India's backup wicketkeeper who's on his first test squad. I enjoyed that little kind of anecdote on the side, and Jarrell will be very exciting to come in. And something that you've mentioned before in terms of Glenn Maxwell and other teams, other countries using the kind of white ball T20 pipeline as a way to getting their most talented players into the test setup, Jarrell is another example of that.
That is quite instructive. We made a documentary a number of years ago called The Final Frontier, and it was about the relationship between Australia and India. And everyone we interviewed kind of said that, like, we'd go over and play a series, but we didn't know each other. Yeah. There was no relationship. There was no kind of shared culture apart from cricket. Now they're all, as you say, someone like Joe Root with 30 test tons knows well the new bloke coming in for India. So, as you say, 23 years of age, part of that under-19s production line. He's played 15 first-class games, one century, but did make a 50 against the England Lions last week. So a player in form is picked. Any sense of what's going to happen with Kuldeep versus Akshar from the press conference today, which I know that was Ravindra Jadeja fronting it, but any sort of hint of who might get that last spinner spot?
No, to be honest. I think because they're expecting it to be a flatter wicket, England have gone with two seamers because they think it's going to hold up a bit more throughout the top part of the game. My spidey senses would say they'll stick with Kuldeep because then you can keep the batting. You get the same batter in for Jadeja, for Akshar. Akshar's averaged 50-odd in the last however long with the bat, but Jadeja's been doing the same. So you get a like-for-like replacement, Jadeja for Akshar, but the better player in Jadeja. And then you keep the X factor of the wrist spinner on a wicket that's keeping together where you need a bit more variation. But that is my guess. That is what I expect they'll do, or suspect they'll do, but that's not grounded in any inside information, unfortunately.
No, that's fine. I've skipped over. I might have buried the lead here when going through the Indian team changes. Sarfraz Khan. So they've dropped Shreyas Iyer, as Jeff and I discussed on the weekly show, so we don't need to do that again. But Sarfraz Khan, out of Mumbai, 26 years of age. They've been talking about him since he was a 12-year-old when he made that quadruple 100 in schools cricket, but an average of 70 across 45 first class games, 14 centuries, and a strike rate of 70 at the level below. There has been so much hype around this guy for such a long stretch of time, and Rajat Patidar keeps his spot, but Sarfraz almost certainly will make his test debut tomorrow.
It's so exciting. I think it's a great selection for kind of part-time IPL fans from the UK, such as myself, whisper it quietly, who from all these years ago have been wondering when they're going to see this guy playing international cricket. The kind of little kind of slightly chubby teenager batting with Chris Gayle, who whacks it a mile, has numbers through the roof. He's everything. He's absolutely everything you want from an Indian cricketer on paper. And now finally he's going to walk out, I'm guessing at number 5, in a test match for India. It's going to be so exciting. But it really does speak further to the point of how kind of shallow and brittle and just how far down the pecking order, or more of a nod to a new generation, this Indian team is going through. If you think at number 4, they've got Patidar, 1 test cap. At number 5, Sarfraz Khan, 0. At 6, they'll have Jadeja, I imagine. And at 7, they'll then have Jarrell on debut as well. We talk about the inexperience of England spinners, but they are going up against a middle order with equally as little test experience as them. And somehow they're still turning out kind of fantastically entertaining test matches. Yes, and I think, well, we're at Pujara's home ground. I've been told he's going to be playing a Ranji Trophy game about 4 kilometres away from here, starting in 2 days. So if you are in the Rajkot area and wish to watch Pujara play, don't come here. Whatever you do, go down the road. But it is, I found it remarkable that a player of his stature, who's still churning out the runs in the Ranji Trophy, it's not like Ajinkya Rahane, where there's another former great of a different era who isn't quite scoring the runs at a domestic level anymore. Pujara's there, he's down the road, but in Sarfraz Khan, Jarrell, India have made their case clear that they're kind of moving onwards, going in a new direction.
I was going to ask you a question without notice on Chateshwar Pujara, whether there's been any chat about him at his home ground. The last time there was a first-class game played at Rajkot, Pujara, of course, rattled off a double ton. He's got like 17 double tons in first-class cricket, but the bank of runs he made for Sussex last year since he's been dropped from the Indian national team. And it is odd to me that with such an inexperienced batting lineup, there wasn't room to bring him into the squad and see what might be possible. a pitch that's known for high scoring. Pujara's got a triple there. Jadeja's got a triple there. They've both got double hundreds, a bank of double hundreds at that ground as well. So there's the muscle memory of batting there at Rajkot. So yes, we might say this about Pujara, pal of the show. We've had him on the show last year talking about this very topic, about him trying to get back into the Indian Test team. So our bias does lie in that direction. But yeah, it does seem a fraction odd. Moving to England, we know where they're going as well. Saw an interesting stat on Crick Buzz about England's spinners. They've bowled 38 maidens in the series compared to India's 17 maidens. And I suppose that's as reflective of the way that England bat. And on average as well, though, England spinners are averaging 34 in the series and India's 39. I know we come in one all and you can't underestimate the threat that Jadeja and Ashwin in tandem will pose on any surface. But it also speaks to how well England's inexperienced spinners have gone so far. We know that Jack Leach is missing for the rest of the series. We discussed that on the weekly show with Jeff. We also know that Shahab Bashir has been dropped in favour of Mark Wood. You can elaborate on that in a moment, the thinking behind the decision of taking a second seamer with James Anderson. And Rayan Ahmed, I think we're still waiting officially for him to get his passport stamped and have that visa issue sorted out. But they've gone with Rayan Ahmed ahead of Shahab Bashir to partner with Tom Hartley, who become effectively the senior spinner.
So Rayan Ahmed has had his visa stamped. He is officially in the country. That's all sorted. And on that, it's been... The Shahab Bashir one, so England have had two visa issues involving their kind of players of Pakistani heritage on this tour. The first one with Shahab Bashir, that was an incident that kind of related to the history and the problems between Pakistan and India. And yes, there was things of you've got to get things stamped in London, but other players didn't, and X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. It was a thing. This one was a cock-up from England. There's no two ways about it. Rayan Ahmed had a single-entry visa to India, and it was a visa he had got for when he was a reserve player for the World Cup. And when England came here for the World Cup, they were not planning on leaving the country throughout. However, with this series, they were. They had their break in Abu Dhabi. Now, when Rayan Ahmed tries to come back into the country after the break in Abu Dhabi, the visa officer on the desk very fairly goes, mate, I'm really sorry, but this says single entry and you've already been here. That England are saying the airport were incredibly helpful. It's all been sorted. They were excellent with Rayan Ahmed. I actually had a tiny, tiny chat with him and he just said it was all a bit surreal. He's like, well, I'm in the country, so it's fine, but kind of it was a thing. And yeah, so that's one that England just have to wear. It was a bit of a nonsense. Ben Stokes hasn't apportioned blame anywhere, but it does look a little bit silly. However, the end point is that he will be playing in this test match. And as you say, it's Shahab Bashir who has been the one to drop out. It's just, I think England managed to make this environment where even though you're left out, you're not dropped. It's kind of like, oh, we're not dropping you, we're just picking someone else. And I think that is probably the case, especially with how well Shahab Bashir bowled in the last test match. Mark Woods has been opted for because basically, and it's Jadeja saying this, not me, about the wicket here. Either it holds up for 5 days or it spins everywhere and you get rolled in 2 days. Like, okay, so basically there's going to be more time put into the match. There's a little bit more grass on the wicket. The conditions favour having seamers up top more than just having one and just churning through the spinners at the other end. So that's the reason why England have gone the way they've gone. They've replicated India in the two-seamer approach. And Ben Stokes has said, it's never a three-seamer option in India, which did make me think about the time they picked four in Ahmedabad 2 years ago when Axel Patel took about 17 wickets in three balls.
Yes, the great miscalculation that day-night test match had ended inside 150 overs or something ridiculous, certainly inside 2 days. So, and the other point here is really that Anderson can play the role as a spinner as well. And by that, I mean he can bowl long spells and can bowl 20-plus overs a day, whereas Wood doesn't do that, right? Wood will play as a strike option on the surface, as you described there. There has been heavy scoring there and there have been short matches there. Both test matches there have been incredibly high scoring, which have involved a number of centuries. One against England in 2017 and one against the Windies, 16, sorry, and one against the Windies a couple of years after that. And both had scores above 600 in the first inning. So that might hold together and that could be the sort of test match we have ahead of us. They do have another seam option, though, at least what I can tell from the photos Phil Brown was putting on social media yesterday. Ben Stokes, the cricketer from England, the Ashes of 2019 are alive. Stokes' 100th test match, which is significant. It feels like it's crept up on us. I was at his debut, at his debut, rather, at Adelaide in in 2013. That feels 5 minutes ago, but he will receive that new cap as they do with England. They get a new cap for every 25 test matches played. So Stokes will have 100 underneath the three lines as of tomorrow. The England captain, what a side they've turned into under his leadership. And the fact that his international career was in jeopardy back in 2021 with a series of injuries and sitting out of the game with mental health challenges that he's elaborated on since, but coming back now and doing what he's doing and leading this England team, it'll be a great celebration of him this week too.
It will, and he's been so kind of annoyingly calm about it. It's like, oh, how do you feel, Ben? He's like, oh, it's just a number. It's like, come on, like, it's more than a number. It's really exciting. We're excited. Can you be excited? Just in terms of like the context of time, I've been trying to work out, and maybe this is just me kind of reflecting stupidly, but I haven't been able to quite wrap my head around the fact that Headingley, the defining test of Stokes, potentially of his career, of his kind of cricketing legacy, was his 55th test match. So it's almost exactly half of his career ago, and it feels so much more recent than that, at least in my mind. Ollie Pope was saying to the press yesterday that when Joe Root had his 100th test match in India, in Chennai, they sat down the day before the match in the evening and they had a little presentation where they just watched montages of Joe Root's just peeling off runs. And I was thinking I'd actually, in terms of what I'd like to do on my Valentine's Day evening, watching Ben Stokes highlights
fun.
Does actually sound pretty good, to be fair. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be too much of a razzmatazz about around it, mainly because Stokes himself has said, I don't, like, whatever happens, but I'm not too fussed. I'll have time in the future to reflect on that. So I guess it's for the rest of us. I guess it's for people like us to kind of glorify it and kind of lift it up to the achievement that it is, because Stokes as a player, there was never any doubt that there was the talent there to play 100 test matches. Stokes the person, there was never any guarantee that the career could have kind of blown up at any moment, really. And I mean that for a variety of reasons. He's had a lot of his trials and tribulations off the pitch are well documented. And the fact he's here and then turned himself into this leader who's so well respected, so well loved within kind of the East England camp, it's been a remarkable story.
All right, Cam, before we get a little bit of travel diary action from you, now we have all the teams settled, let's move to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The final word, Hall of Fame for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. They're with us throughout the course of our daily shows in 2024, Cam, and of course, throughout the duration of this India-England series. Here we go. I'm going to read this fresh. How many spinners do you pick for Test in India? 3, 4, 8? Because in India, you have to spin to win, right? Wrong. Just because something rhymes doesn't mean it's true. See also, go woke, go broke, or if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Very good start there from Shin. Start as you mean to go on. That's very strong copy. But there are two places where you can spin and win, Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Visit either centre, scan the QR code, and you could spin and win yourself a year of free bowling at All Star Lanes, as well as free food and drink at a bunch of places around the centre. But getting quick, once the prizes are gone, they're gone. Free bowling for a year at All Star Lanes. We went bowling in India as an Australian touring press pack when Australia were rolled in 4 days at Bangalore, or might have been 3 days. In 2017, we spent the day off bowling. So there is a link back there to watching cricket in India. And I went to Westfield London last week, Cam, and enjoyed the Japanese-Danish fusion. My wife and I went out for lunch out there, and it was delightful. Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. Google them and get yourself in the running with the QR code. As they say here, to win a year's bowling at All Star Lanes. Cam, no Hall of Fame today per se, but I just want to get your reflections on spending a week at Goa. You've touched on the bad bit when you got food poisoning and you pop that on social media because, you know, you're a youngster and everything ends up on socials when you're on tour. But tell us about the good bits. What did you enjoy about being on the beach?
Yeah, look, the good bits led to the bad bits. I have a deep love affair of prawns, and I try to eat all of them that they're available to me on the west coast in India. Life is about risk and reward, and eventually it came back to bite me. The main disappointment was, though, I had a lovely time. I was staying in a hostel called the Funky Monkey, so it was obviously the finest establishment in all of the west coast of India. Genuinely, the restaurant there was so nice. I was having a lovely time. I'd even got invited to a pre-wedding party. There was a wedding ceremony on the Monday in southern Goa, and I was kind of up in north Goa, and I'd got an invite, and I wasn't going to be able to go to the wedding because, well, this stuff's going on. I had to talk to the final word, obviously. But I had got an invite to the pre-wedding party. And then Sunday, literally, I had to pay a cancellation fee on my cab because I was like, oh, I feel a little bit funny. So rather than leaving with an anecdote of having gone to an Indian wedding in Goa, which would have been so much fun, and I'd have absolutely loved to have done that, I left with an anecdote of food poisoning. And yes, did I look back on the Tuesday when I realised I'd documented my time in prone positions to the world? And did I feel guilty? Did I feel ashamed? I did. But at the time, a couple of likes, it was a bit of a serotonin boost. I was deeply ashamed in hindsight.
You could have done both things and had food poisoning at the wedding and threaded the needle there.
Yeah, but ahead of a time.
Yeah, well, yeah. I see that as a missed opportunity, but at least you put yourself in the frame to have the opportunity in the first place. That's the spirit of touring rather.
Best,
great job, Cam. That's for Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. We will have final word nominations throughout the course of the week. The daily show, rather, from Radscott will be Cam every day. I'll be doing a couple of them, maybe a few of them, depending on when I fly to Australia next week from London. And Daniel Norcross will be back on the Final Word Daily. He's been on it many times over the years, but I don't think you have been together as a combination. So that will be most enjoyable. I recorded a long story time with Daniel, which will come out after the test match as well. This has been the Final Word Daily. Adam Collins and Cam Ponsonby. We will chat to you tomorrow. Bye.